Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Dr. Pat Zukran unpacks how the Holy Spirit partners with apologetics to reveal truth and transform lives, from the teachings of Jesus to insights from Augustine, Aquinas, and Calvin. This episode shows why arguments alone cannot produce faith. Only the Holy Spirit can open hearts to believe. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this discussion entitled The Role of the Holy Spirit in Apologetics, show number 11 from Paradas, a podcast from Veritas International University. And you'll also find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into the conclusion of this fascinating discussion.
Let me ask you now, what is the relationship between the Holy Spirit and apologetical evidence?
Yes, Elliot, I was at a conference once, and on the second day, a man came up to me and he said, Pat, you know, you're so rational and you present these compelling reasons and evidence and apologetics, but where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the room for faith? You eliminate the work of the Holy Spirit and you eliminate faith by presenting all this reason and evidence. And that's a common mistake people make. Some people think it's either evidence or the Holy Spirit. It's either evidence or it's not real faith. And one of the things we need to understand is that it's not either or. It's not either the Holy Spirit or the evidence. You know, the more evidence you provide, the less the Holy Spirit works. Yeah. It's not either or, it's both and. So the Holy Spirit uses the evidence to persuade the unbeliever that Christianity is true. So the Holy Spirit uses the evidence and the powerful reasons, apologetics, as a tool to persuade the believer that Christianity is true. Dr. Geisler used to always say, God does not bypass the mind to speak to the heart. So a person must first understand the gospel. And when he or she does, the first response probably is, well, how do I know it's true? Why should I believe that? And that's where apologetics comes in, providing good reasons and evidence to show a person that Christianity is reasonable, that it's true. So reason and evidence can get a person to believe that Christianity is true and reasonable. However, to get someone to believe in Christ, to surrender their life to Christ, that is a work of the heart, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit.
You know, Pat,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I couldn't agree more. You know, God is the God of logic, the God of reason. He gave us minds for a reason. And like you said, it's not either or, it's both and evidence and logic and reason will get us to a certain point. But like you said, then the Holy Spirit's got to do the rest, but it's both. It's not either or.
Yeah, so apologetics may convince the mind that Christianity is reasonable and that it's true, but to get the heart, for a person to surrender their heart, their will to Christ, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see that in the Gospels. You know, even after Jesus did all his miracles, John writes in John 12, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Luke tells of many infallible proofs Jesus presented for his resurrection, yet not everyone believed. So reason and evidence alone is insufficient to produce belief in Christ. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. One must be persuaded by the Holy Spirit to surrender their life to Christ. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. So the two are not exclusive of one another. The two work together. Apologetics is a tool the Holy Spirit uses to convince the person that Christianity is true, and then he can work on the person's heart to convince the person in the truth of Christianity and believing in Christ. So the two work together.
You truly have a way with words, and I couldn't agree more. Well said, sir. Let me ask you this. What is the difference between proof and persuasion?
Yeah, you know, this is a definition of two words that we really have to understand. When Dr. Geisler brought it up to me, I was wondering what the importance of really defining these two were, and now I understand. But proof deals with objective certainty, while persuasion refers to subjective certitude. In other words, proof is provided by reason and evidence outside of us. Okay, so compelling arguments and evidence for Christ, that's proof. So apologetics deals with this, objective truth, but it doesn't provide subjective certitude. That comes from within. So proof comes from the outside. Persuasion is from within. This is what we call the subjective certitude, or this refers to a person's inner sense of confidence or feeling of certainty about a belief. So it is subjective because it depends on the individual's personal perception and conviction rather than an objective external evidence. So proof is from the outside, persuasion comes from within.
Thank you for that answer. I'd never heard proof and persuasion broken down like that before, and that is actually very helpful. So thank you, Pat. Let's pause for a moment from theology and look at some early church fathers. How did they view the role of the Holy Spirit in apologetics? Let's begin with St. Augustine.
Yeah, Elliot, one of the things that Dr. Geisler was great in, you know, when you read his theology book, it's unique that you have a philosopher doing theology. And one of the things he would do in his theology book that made it unique is that not only he explained the particular theological principle, but then he would go and start giving the views throughout church history of the great church fathers on this particular theological point that he was pointing out here. And so he was really helpful in this arena and pointing this out. But the great Augustine, one of the great early theologians of the church, maybe one of the top five theologians of church history, he believed an unbeliever must first be convinced in his mind. He must understand the gospel and be convinced that Christianity is reasonable and true. In his work on predestination, he wrote, "No one indeed believes anything unless he has first thought that it is to be believed. Hence, it is necessary that everything which is believed should be believed after thought has led the way." So Augustine viewed apologetics as necessary but insufficient by itself to bring an unbeliever to saving faith in Christ. So Augustine stated that arguments and evidence can clear obstacles that keep people from clearly hearing and understanding and responding to Christ and can point them to the truth. But it's only the Holy Spirit, really the true inner teacher that convicts the person of sin, enlightens them to God's truth, and can bring them to faith in Christ. In one of his works on the teacher, he argued that human teachers can point to the truth, but it is the Holy Spirit who illuminates the mind so that understanding and belief can take place. So Augustine taught that apologetics points to the truth, but persuasion and bringing a person to faith in Christ ultimately is the work of the Holy Spirit.
I've always loved the teachings of the early church fathers, and thank you for correcting me on my pronunciation, by the way. I think I said Augustine, and I have a certain mentor and professor. We won't say his name. You know who it is, who would be very upset with me right now. So Augustine, excuse me. Yeah. Excellent points there. And yeah, I mean, the church fathers always have such rich, good teachings that I love to go back to and just learn and glean from. So thank you for pointing all that out. And now how about Thomas Aquinas?
Dr. Geisler, maybe the longest section in his book is on Aquinas, because that's what he was. He was a Thomist. For Geisler, Thomas Aquinas was the most influential theologian in his life. And so he had a great understanding of Aquinas that he taught to us. And when you read Aquinas, he held that apologetics, similar to Augustine, had a very important role in showing unbelievers that Christianity is credible and reasonable. But as Augustine, apologetics, reason and evidence by themselves is insufficient to bring someone to faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the decisive agent who brings someone to faith, enlightens the mind, and provides that subjective certitude that indeed Christianity is indeed true. So arguments prepare the way, but conversion and conviction belong to the Holy Spirit. Augustine, you know, believed that reason and arguments can show that belief in God is reasonable. However, reason cannot by itself produce saving faith. Faith is a gift of grace given through the Holy Spirit. So reason and evidence can get one to believe that God exists, but it cannot convince an unbeliever to believe in God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So reason and evidence can convince the mind, but that has to travel, you know, 6 inches down to the heart, and the person has to surrender their life to Christ. That's an act of the heart or the will, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So Aquinas saw that apologetics can remove obstacles and demonstrate the credibility and the reasonableness of Christianity, but it is the Spirit that must move the will to produce true saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Very interesting, and Aquinas is definitely one of my favorites. Thank you for pointing all that out. What about any of the reformers?
Well, perhaps the great theologian of the Reformation was indeed John Calvin. And some think that Calvin didn't value reason and apologetics, but he was similar to Aquinas. You know, he believed that the Holy Spirit uses apologetics as a tool to convince the mind that Christianity is true. Calvin didn't reject evidences. In fact, when you read his Institutes in book one, he used arguments from creation, from prophecy, from miracles, from church history, to show that Christianity is indeed credible and true, and it's got some compelling evidence for its case. In fact, in his commentary on Romans, he writes about Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Calvin concludes that Paul plainly testifies here, as Calvin writes, that God presented to the minds of all the means of knowing him, having so manifested himself by his works, that they must necessarily see what of themselves they seek not to know, that there is some God. In light of the evidence, even unbelievers will be compelled to confess that Scripture exhibits clear evidence of its being spoken by God and consequently of its containing his heavenly doctrine. And so he was saying here in his commentary on Romans, Romans says that what may be known of God is clearly seen through the things he has made, so that all men are without excuse. So by studying creation and looking at the evidence and using our minds to reason and put the evidence all together, men can conclude that indeed God exists. So human reason can bring one to believe that God exists and that the teachings of the Bible are indeed true. But like Augustine, like Aquinas, he stressed that these arguments are persuasive only when the Holy Spirit accompanies them. Otherwise, the human heart will remain resistant to the evidence there. So faith is more than just intellectual assent. True saving faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. And so for Calvin, apologetics can clear away the objections and the obstacles to faith, but faith, saving faith, is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit working on the heart of the individual to bring that person to Christ.
Very interesting. And, you know, what you said just had me thinking about how fast-paced our world is, and how some people are just always, you know, running 100 miles an hour, and they don't even have time to think or time to stop and consider things. And I think, you know, our Father in heaven will sometimes purposely slow people down in one way or another so that they do have time to stop and think and consider evidence that's right in front of them that they have yet to consider or even see. So thank you for pointing that out, Pat. Do any American theologians tackle the subject?
Yes, you know, we've got several, perhaps a couple of the most famous, Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher of the Reformation. Many don't know, but he also valued reason and evidence in defending Christianity. If you look at his writings, he often used arguments from philosophy. He was a tremendous philosopher, history and nature to demonstrate the truth of God's existence and the credibility of Christianity. But he, like Augustine, like Aquinas, like Calvin, did not believe apologetics alone could produce genuine faith in Christ. You know, he taught that at best rational arguments could remove the obstacles and answer the objections against Christianity and show that Christianity is reasonable and worthy of belief. But Edwards put apologetics in the proper order. You know, apologetics clears misconceptions. It shows that Christianity is reasonable and that it satisfies the questions of the mind. But it's the Holy Spirit then that opens the heart, convicts of sin, and convinces someone to give their life to Christ. So he believed apologetics can prepare the ground, but it's only the Holy Spirit really that makes that seed of faith grow. Another great theologian is B.B. Warfield, you know, another Princeton theologian. He is known also for his strong defense of Scripture's inspiration and inerrancy. He wrote that great theological work there on the inspiration of the Bible. But he also emphasized that the Spirit inspired Scripture and works through it using apologetics. And so apologetics and the Holy Spirit, they go together. The Holy Spirit uses the reasons and the evidence to bring an unbeliever to believe that Christianity is true. So he stressed good apologetics and evidential arguments, but also he also acknowledged their limitations to that. Those alone do not bring someone to saving faith in Christ. That is done by the Holy Spirit. You know, and the last theologian is a contemporary of ours, you know, Dr. William Lane Craig.
Yes.
If you read that book, Five Views of Apologetics, he is the best as far as classical apologetics. His arguments for the existence of God, especially the cosmological argument and the moral argument and the resurrection. He's one of the best on that. But he also insists in that book that the inner witness of the Holy Spirit gives, as he says, the self-authenticating assurance of Christianity's truth independent of arguments. So he also acknowledges then that reasons and evidence are powerful and compelling, but they alone don't bring someone to faith in Christ. That, you know, requires an act of the will, surrendering one's life to Christ, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So I remember sitting on stage with him And somebody asked the question about the relationship between apologetics and the Holy Spirit. And this person thought they were opposed to one another. If you're providing all these reasons and evidence, there's no room for faith or the work of the Holy Spirit. And I said, it's not either the Holy Spirit or apologetics and the evidence. It's both and. God uses the evidence. Holy Spirit uses the compelling reasons and evidence to convince the mind that Christianity is true. But the surrendering of the heart, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I felt his hand on my shoulder. And I knew it was him because he's the only other guy on stage. And I thought, oh, he's going to correct me. And he said, I totally agree with what Pat said. And he nodded his head and added to what I said. So hopefully what I'm saying is true. I'm pretty sure he would agree with what I said because he agreed with me on stage there.
Absolutely. It's a great story, by the way. And, you know, just from our talk, looking all the way back at early church fathers throughout the centuries, I mean, we're talking about Aquinas, Augustine, and now, you know, American theologians all the way to modern day, like William Lane Craig. And it seems like they all are in agreement with faith and reason, that you need evidence and the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting to see anybody who would say you need one or the, it can either be one or the other, it can't be both, after so much discussion and debate on the topic that we're discussing right now.
Yeah, you know, Elliot, I think all the schools of apologetics, you know, that we covered, presuppositionalism, evidentialism, classical, I think we would all at least be in agreement on this point, you know, that reasons and evidence only take a person so far. It can convince the mind, but convincing of the heart, bring someone to saving faith, requires the work of the Holy Spirit. So I think really all schools of apologetics would mostly, I think, agree with us on this point.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree because it's exactly what happened to me in my life. So, and Pat, lastly, how would you summarize apologetics and the role of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, so to summarize it all, apologetics provides reason and evidence for Christianity and removes the obstacles and objections against Christianity that keep people from seriously listening and considering the message of Christ. But apologetics alone is insufficient in bringing a person to faith in Christ. As we saw with Jesus, he provided powerful evidence. Some believed, but many resisted the message. So apologetics can bring a person to believe that Christianity is reasonable and true, but it cannot persuade someone to believe in Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit that he does upon a person's heart. And so apologetics and the Holy Spirit, they work together. I see apologetics as a tool the Holy Spirit uses to lay the groundwork to get the person to come to the point where he can say, all right, it's reasonable. There's some good evidences for Christianity, but to get the person to surrender his life to Christ, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's not the Holy Spirit or is it apologetics? It's both and.
Both and. Love it. Well said. Pat, thank you so much for your time today, for being here with us and doing this broadcast. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all the work you're doing, have done, and will do. Continue to work on me. You know I need it. I hope this episode does that for you. If you are listening, join us next episode as we wrap up our time with Dr. Patrick Zuckerin, summarizing Jesus's apologetic methods. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you, and I pray you have a wonderful day.
Our time today has come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 483-0586. or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.